This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Bracing for the worst. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, September 14. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The governor of North Carolina says the threat of Hurricane Florence today becomes a reality, warning that it's a storm that can kill.
A ruptured pipeline is believed to be the cause of a series of explosions in the Boston area that killed one person and injured at least a dozen others.
Negotiators on Capitol Hill have reached an agreement that would avoid a government shutdown before the midterm election.
And in the wake of the Cynthia Nixon bagel drama in the New York governor's race, a list of food etiquette mistakes to avoid.
People are judging you when you're sitting out for work, eating out, so watch out. But number one, do not order red sauce pasta, peel and eat shrimp, ribs, things that are messy, things you got to eat with your hands like corn on the cob. Those are just a big no-no.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on what not to eat or do at the table during a business meeting. She's here in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Florence is lashing the North Carolina coast with wind and a life-threatening storm surge. State officials are bracing for the worst. Authorities in the town of New Bern were working with first responders already to rescue at least 150 residents who reported themselves stranded in the storm surge, some saying the water was chest high. The National Hurricane Service says hurricane force winds extended 80 miles from its center and tropical storm force winds up to 195 miles. Florence is moving toward the west and northwest at a pace of about 5 to 6 miles an hour. Ralph Evangelist is the police chief in Wilmington, North Carolina.
I see a biblical proportion flood event that's going to occur. I see the beach communities being inundated with water, and destruction is going to be pretty epic in nature.
The center of Florence is forecast to move over the coasts of North Carolina and South Carolina today and last through Saturday night. Due to its slow-moving pace, the storm is likely to bring significant rain to the Carolinas, where some places could see upwards of 20 inches or more, leading to catastrophic flash flooding and prolonged river flooding. Let's get a live update from the coastal region now from Kelly Golden. She's the morning show host at our affiliate in Charleston, South Carolina, News Radio 94.3 WSC. She joins us again this week. Kelly, give us an update as to what things are like this morning in Charleston.
Well, I got to tell you, Gordon, good morning. First, might I set the record straight? I am with Mike Gavin. No raisins with your smoked salmon. And I beg to differ with Katie Hill. Messy is best when it comes to food.
Wow.
You know how much we love our food in the Lowcountry.
Well, yeah, and messy at that.
Well, so speaking of messy, we are, of course, this is the phase where our emergency operations officials say, all right, it's hunker down phase. Your time to get out is over. Certainly, they don't want people in the roadways as winds pick up here in the Lowcountry and beyond around, you know, the Charleston area. It looks this morning like our threat is changing, much like this entire storm has been absolutely nerve-wracking for forecasters. And for us, it looks like our neighbors to the north of about an hour who are under a hurricane warning now in Georgetown County may see the worst of this with tropical storm force winds, which is why they're under a hurricane warning. We are under a hurricane watch at this point. And what it really looks like is the water threat. And when our emergency operations, you know, officials, you know, bring out the coroner to start talking about ways you can die in floodwaters, it gets really serious here.
Boy, I mean, besides a general term like drown, what are the threats that they indicate are there?
Well, what really gets me is our coroner has been a part of the Lowcountry. If people, you know, grew up here like I did, even though I worked out of market and came back, she has been here, Ray Wooten. She's a very motherly, bordering on grandmotherly woman.
Okay.
And so just imagine a very sweet Southern woman explaining how, you know, when you get caught in floodwaters, you know, don't try to stand. Keep floating. You know, when when we see fatalities and flooding, it's because of blunt force trauma to your body. I mean, she's describing all of these things, and I'm thinking, my goodness, in all of my years of covering these storms, and, you know, Gordon, I've been in the business going on 22 years, and I've covered storms, you know, for many of those, and, well, for all of those, but I've never seen that. I've never seen a coroner come out and explain the ways to not be stupid in you know, floodwaters.
Boy, and that's coming from somebody in Charleston, right, which is used to this stuff.
Yeah, and really, of course, she goes back to what people can remember, 1989 in Hugo, and how devastating that was. Even though we've had many events in the last 3 years, I mean, Joaquin just really came and drenched and sat on us, and that was 3 years ago, and, you know, we all dubbed it our 1,000-year flood event because it was so epic. And it sat on us, and we had really two events happen, because not only did it drench the low country with, you know, 20, 30, you know, we didn't hear the 40 inches until Harvey happened in Texas, but then came all of the roll down from the Midlands and upstate where that storm went and sat after it left our area.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, a two-pronged thing, and all of our officials are warning us, you know, of that as well.
We're speaking live this morning with Kelly Golden, morning show host at our affiliate in Charleston, South Carolina, News Radio 94.3 WSC, talking, of course, about Hurricane Florence. Is it scary at this point, or are Charlestonians used to this?
I think it depends on when you moved here. So we have a lot of newer folks moving to the Lowcountry as our popularity ramps up and being number one on every list in the world and friendly and so on. So I think for people who are weathered and seasoned, I mean, I'm a tween riding out Hugo in my house in 1989. I've, you know, chased storms in Florida, the worst that we've ever seen in 2004 and 2005. There's not panic, of course. I mean, I've seen a lot of people, you know, they're preparing. But a lot of people, I think, true to the Lowcountry, have stayed. And that's really concerned, of course, our emergency officials. Because you know what we'll see next. We'll see people getting cabin fever. If they're losing power for extended amount of times, they're going to start roaming out.
Yeah.
And when there are floodwaters, then you could get trapped in your car. And, you know, it just goes on from there like a domino effect.
Have those folks been told that they will not be a priority?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This was the number one reason why they pulled the, you know, sweet motherly grandmotherly coroner out yesterday to say, as she literally, probably, Gordon, for 5 minutes, talked about how awful it is for them to have to pull themselves off the street at 40 miles an hour because that's what first responders do to stay safe themselves.
Yeah.
Explaining the calls they get to 911 saying, I can't breathe. She said, you don't know how horrific that is for us to have to endure. Like,
sure.
She's just begging people to please not, you know, don't put us or yourself in this situation.
Goodness. Anybody saying at this point, like with this latest storm, hey, enough is enough, I'm out of the Lowcountry, I can't deal with this? Or are they willing because of the beauty to take the risks?
I always say there is a price to pay to live in paradise,
yeah,
right? Everybody, there's always something. So I think after Matthew 2 years ago and Irma last year, if you've moved here recently, you're probably starting to get used to it.
Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always, Kelly. Kelly Golden, morning show hosts at News Radio 94.3 WSC in Charleston, South Carolina. President Trump is under fire for rejecting the official conclusion that nearly 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico from last year's Hurricane Maria. Mr. Trump ignited a fresh controversy over his administration's response to the Category 4 storm that smashed into the island last September. On Twitter, he wrote, "When I left the island after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. Then, a long time later, he said they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000. He added, "This was done by the Democrats in order to make me look as bad as possible." South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
I don't think you want to declare a success when people die.
Puerto Rico's governor last month raised Maria's official death toll from 64 to more than 2,900. 15 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Terrifying day in parts of eastern Massachusetts as dozens of explosions caused by a rupture in a natural gas pipeline killed at least one person, injured at least a dozen others, led to hundreds of evacuations. The blasts left dozens of homes and other buildings demolished or engulfed in flames in the former mill towns of Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence. Firefighters from some 50 departments raced for hours from one blaze to another. Lawrence Mayor Dan Riviera.
The focus is every house, go in there, shut the gas off, make it safe so people can back in their house as soon as possible.
State police said a total of 70 fires, explosions, or investigations of gas odor had been reported. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. If you're thinking about saving money this summer, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with autopay. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18%. You should also know that you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. And our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's Lightstream, LightStream, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information. And for the additional discount, it's lightstream.com/deal. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Florence has inundated coastal streets with ocean water and left tens of thousands without power. And forecasters say catastrophic freshwater flooding is still to come. The National Hurricane Center says a gauge in Emerald Isle, North Carolina, reported over 6 feet of inundation. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
All this rain is going to be here for about 2 days. Starting at one side of the state and going to the other.
Screaming winds bent trees toward the ground and raindrops flew sideways as Florence's leading edge whips the Carolina coast. President Trump caused another uproar when he contradicted an independent study commissioned by the government of Puerto Rico that revised the Hurricane Maria death toll estimate from 64 to 2,975. In claiming that 3,000 people did not die, Trump alleged the study was done by the Democrats to make him look bad. San Juan Mayor Carmen Cruz spoke with ABC.
The president's attention should be turned to South Carolina and North Carolina, and he should respect the dignity and the pain and the sorrow inflicted badly by the neglect that he allowed his administration to bestow upon Puerto Rico.
In accusing Puerto Rico's government of politicizing the study, Trump mirrored narratives that have pervaded far-right websites for the past year. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo easily beat back a primary challenge from activist and actress Cynthia Nixon, thwarting her attempt to become the latest insurgent liberal to knock off an establishment Democrat. Nixon says despite her loss, she helped change the political landscape.
This race for the Democratic nomination may be over, but the fight for the soul of the Democratic Party is just beginning.
Cuomo, who always led in the polls, outspent Nixon more than 8-1. Pretty soon, you won't be able to see how many people fit in a bug. The iconic Volkswagen Beetle is about to be squashed. After selling it on and off in the U.S. for nearly 7 decades, the German automaker is ending global production of the car. The compact vehicle was first introduced in Germany in 1938 and hit the U.S. in 1949, where it became the go-to buggy for hipsters.
It was like several hundred thousand vehicle sales in the 60s, but I think it fell off to just like, what, 15,000 or so last year.
Don't see them much anymore.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Better watch your manners when dining out for work. That's the advice in the wake of New York gubernatorial challenger Cynthia Nixon sending the internet into a frenzy with her bagel order earlier this week. She lost, by the way, in yesterday's primary to incumbent Democrat Andrew Cuomo, as Jennifer just mentioned. Food etiquette tips from Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, set this up.
So this made me think, right, that there's a lot of things we do eating out on our jobs that are totally wrong that we probably don't even realize we're doing, and we see them all the time. So I asked a whole slew of etiquette experts, you know, what are we doing when we're eating out for work that's just wrong and, you know, really could have some serious repercussions? People are judging you when you're sitting out for work eating out, so watch out. But number one, do not order red sauce pasta, peony shrimp, ribs, things that are messy, things you got to eat with your hands, like corn on the cob. Those are just a big no-no. Even if you're craving them, don't do it. And really, the thing to do to avoid this, right, is like eat a little something before you even go to dinner so that you're not tempted to just get that thing, like, I'm just too hungry, I'm just going to get it, and then end up with red sauce down your shirt.
Right. What is the point about cutting your food wrong? How can you possibly do that?
One piece of meat at a time. Do not cut all your food up all at once, which one of my etiquette experts says it makes you look like you're about to feed an infant. You know, some people cut their whole steak up, all these little pieces all at one time. Do not do that. Someone's going to judge you for it. It's no good.
Other one, being too picky.
Don't ask 500 questions about the menu. Nobody wants to hear a 15-minute discussion about your entree. Mm. Take what you're ordering. Don't substitute a bunch of things. I mean, unless there's a medical reason for it, right? And then move on. Because doing otherwise, you're going to seem high maintenance.
Yeah. Here's mine. Eating too quickly. Sometimes I approach a table like a hound dog, even in, you know, all the wrong company sometimes.
Oh, me too. I just did that. I just inhaled my salad in under 5 minutes. But when you're eating out with colleagues, clients, whoever, you breathe between your bites, chew slowly. I mean, they're looking at you as you're shoveling your food in. That's not a good look, and they're going to be like, oh, God, whoa.
My dad one time, years ago, made the observation, because he used to take clients out to lunch as a sales guy, don't salt and pepper your food as soon as you get it. Taste it first, because they may be observing you for what kind of decision maker you are.
Definitely true.
Yeah.
Multiple experts told me, do not salt your food before you even take a bite. You should take a bite and see if you need the salt. Don't just assume you need it and dump it on. The other thing is, don't slather your steak with like steak sauce or ketchup or whatever your choice. You got to put a little dollop on the side of your plate, and then you dip each bite. Don't just dump it on there before you even take a bite. Just put a little thing and dip.
Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Just reviewing, by the way, the Cynthia Nixon bagel. Cinnamon raisin with cream cheese, lox, tomatoes, red onion, and capers. She has taken flack, but that is a brilliant combination. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, September 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Landfall imminent for Hurricane Florence in the Carolinas with dire warnings. Explosions and fires damaged dozens of homes and businesses after a gas line rupture in suburban Boston, one person killed. Times of London says billionaire Mike Bloomberg plans to run for president. General Motors recalling 1 million pickup trucks and large SUVs for a steering defect. Thursday night football, Bengals beat the Ravens, and a strategy for getting a new iPhone on the cheap. That story in about 15 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Salon Pause Lidocaine Plus Pain Relievers. Hurricane Florence is poised to cause major flood damage along the coast of the Carolinas. Much of this will be covered by the National Flood Insurance Program, the federal agency that is the nation's single largest source of coverage for floods. What kind of insurance event will this hurricane be? Here's RJ Lehman, Director of Finance, Insurance, and Trade Policy for the R Street Institute. RJ, how are you seeing this?
In the last few years, we have seen some major catastrophes after, you know, about a 10-year sort of lull. And where you've seen the biggest impact of that has been on the National Flood Insurance Program, which is actually a federal agency that is the primary source of flood insurance in the United States. It's actually about $20 billion in debt to the U.S. taxpayers, and that's even after Congress voted last year to forgive about $16 billion of debt. So we would expect this week for that debt to go up. By how much will depend on exactly what path Florence takes, but it's certainly going to be a significant storm.
Mm. What's the problem with the National Flood Insurance Program?
In a nutshell, it has never charged rates that are appropriate for the kinds of risks that are being taken on, and that's particularly true for older policies that are explicitly subsidized or grandfathered. There's been a variety of attempts to pass legislation that would, bring rates back up to levels where they should be to actually pay for itself, also to encourage private flood insurance options, and to deal with repetitive loss properties are among the biggest problems there. They're only about 2% of the NFIP's policies, but they account for, you know, a quarter or even a third of its claims.
Oh, wow. So yeah. is the larger issue here not so much maybe the structural unsustainability of the NFIP, mm-hmm. but more the decision-making by cities and towns about constantly rebuilding in flood-prone areas?
These things, they go hand in hand. So it's the existence of the NFIP provides incentives for developers to build in areas that they wouldn't otherwise because the risk would be too high. So that's why we really try to encourage. There is a private market and it is growing. We think that the private industry can take up more of this and less of it should be on the taxpayers, and that private insurance companies will charge rates that are appropriate to the risk. And when that happens, you won't have these incentives to build in areas that you shouldn't be building, which, by the way, also tend to be environmentally sensitive areas. Wetlands and coastal barrier islands are, where you get a lot of the ecological diversity that we need. And those barrier islands would ordinarily serve as great buffers to storms, but instead we're putting up big condo complexes on them.
My layman's response here about charging appropriate rates, I assume that means higher rates, but then will people balk at paying that much money and just roll the dice and then the government winds up stepping in anyway?
It's a combination of higher and lower. So most policies in the NFIP, because of there's cross-subsidies, most people who are in the program are actually paying more than they would in the private market.
Oh, okay.
But the very exposed properties are paying much less than they would in the private market. And so one of the things we need to do is invest in mitigation. In some cases, there are, especially with rising sea levels, there are places where not only should we not be building more, but we should start having conversations about whether we relocate some of the infrastructure away from areas that increasingly will be underwater most of the time.
What happens to insurance policies following some of this expected or anticipated damage from Hurricane Florence?
Well, there's going to be that, right? So the one thing is whether you're going to have policyholder assessments. Otherwise, there may not be that much difference in rates sort of nationwide because the reinsurance market the last few years has actually been really strong. They have very soft pricing, meaning that their reinsurers want to charge higher rates, but they can't get higher rates because there's just so much competition in the reinsurance market. That's the insurance companies that insure insurance companies.
All right. Thanks, RJ. RJ Lehman from the R Street Institute. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So is this the coffee-flavored revenge that Eagles fans have been dreading? You'll remember the dust-up over cups in Boston recently when Patriots fans were served their Dunkin' Donuts coffee in cups with the Philadelphia Eagles logo on it. The company tried to reassure its Massachusetts faithful that the cups for the team that beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl had been shipped to Boston by mistake. This, however, doesn't seem like it's a mistake. Eagles fans in the Philadelphia area were lighting up social media yesterday with photos of cups with the Patriots logo in the city of brotherly love. Employees at the store said they believe it was a mix-up that they received the medium-sized Patriots cups. They assured local TV and irate fans that they love and support the Eagles. The company also issued a statement saying, "We appreciate our loyal customers for bringing this to our attention, and we are taking steps to ensure all of our local stores are stocked with the correct cups. Fly, Eagles, fly."
Now, what's happening here?
How does this happen? This doesn't make a lot of sense. And why is it just Eagles cups and Patriots cups that are swapping back and forth,
right?
The two teams that happen to play in the Super Bowl against each other. There's no LA Rams cups showing up in either one of these cities, for instance. Or Giants, even you know, close by teams, Giants, Jets, that kind of thing. I don't understand how that's working out.
There's something funky going on here.
Somebody in a warehouse somewhere is making this happen and causing headaches for Dunkin' Donuts, is what it seems like to me.
Right. It's some sort of prank. Hey guys, come here. Look what I'm going to do. I'm going to put these Patriots cups.
Yeah.
In the package that's marked for Philadelphia, what do you think? Right, and they're all going, yeah, good idea.
And it happened, without incident in Boston. But when you're talking about the Eagles, you're talking about sort of a whole different level of fandom.
Yeah,
it's
a different type of fan.
Right. I mean, Patriots fans are passionate, but Eagles fans, they might come down there, come looking for you.
That's right.
afterwards, if you hand them the wrong cup.
I still think this is going to wind up being some sort of marketing stunt.
Yeah, you think so? Dunkin' Donuts is going to say,
rule it out these days.
Yeah. Some brilliant social media person somewhere.
Right. Or Dunkin' will turn it into something to its advantage somehow.
That's what they should do.
Yeah.
We'll stand by looking for that one. And let this be a lesson to anyone planning to do some baking in the buff. A man in Niceville, Florida, reportedly set his home ablaze while preparing a batch of cookies on his George Foreman grill, all while possibly nude. According to Fox News, firefighters arrived at the man's house shortly after midnight on August 27th, at which time the man answered the door in the buff and said, "I'm sorry," before closing it and walking back inside his smoke-filled house. Once police finally got inside, they say the man showed no sign of understanding the danger he was in. The Niceville Fire Department eventually determined that the man had attempted to bake cookies on a George Foreman grill, but left them unattended, and then tried to put out the resulting fire with kitchen towels.
Can I just piece together some of the facts
as
they're developing here?
Yes.
It's after midnight.
Right.
He's naked.
Yes.
And baking cookies.
He is.
Proceed.
To answer your next question, Gordon, yes, he also admitted to police that he had consumed 2 liters of vodka and smoked marijuana within the past 3 hours.
2 liters of vodka?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
he was hitting it hard. Medical examiners determined that the man suffered no life-threatening injuries from the fire or smoke. The whereabouts of his pants at the start of the blaze, however, still remain unclear.
I'm pretty sure he didn't care at the time either.
No, he seemed unfazed by all of it, including the nakedness.
I had a roommate in college one time who did that.
With the George Foreman?
Went out drinking, threw some cookies in the oven at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then went to bed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and woke up to deeply crispy cookies.
Probably smelled good, though.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Suffering from sticker shock after the release of the new iPhones this week? Consider this. MarketWatch says with most trade-in offers, it's possible to sell an old iPhone to a resale site or online retailer for half the cost of the new $750 iPhone XR. Apple introduced the XR and 2 other iPhones Wednesday. Once again, resale sites reported a surge in trade-ins of old iPhones ahead of the announcement, but they expect trade-in prices to drop in the days after the big event. For now, though, consumers can still lock in high enough prices to earn 50% back on the cost of the new iPhone XR by trading in their old gadget and upgrading to a new one. The market has become crowded for old phones. In previous years, it was possible to cover the entire cost by selling an iPhone that was over 2 years old, but not anymore. It's possible to buy the iPhone XR for half the price, though, if you trade in your, say, iPhone 7 on a resale site. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Florence's winds may have weakened, but this is still no minor storm. Water is a hurricane's deadliest threat, and forecasters say Florence packs a catastrophic amount of it. Parts of the Carolinas could see 20 to 30 inches. Isolated areas could get 40 inches. Wilmington, North Carolina Police Chief Ralph Angelus.
I see a biblical proportion flood event that's going to occur. I see the beach communities being inundated with water, and destruction is going to be pretty epic in nature.
Along the coast, the storm surge could hit 13 feet, and sea waters could push inland 2 miles, depending on how long Florence lingers. Meanwhile, a typhoon retained its ferocious strength and slightly shifted toward more densely populated coastal provinces as it barrels closer to the northeastern Philippines, where a massive evacuation is underway. More than 4 million people are at risk from that storm, which has been categorized as a super typhoon with powerful winds and gusts equivalent to a Category 5 Atlantic hurricane. A series of gas explosions, an official described as Armageddon, killed a teenager, injured at least 10 other people, and ignited fires in at least 39 homes in 3 communities north of Boston, forcing entire neighborhoods to evacuate as crews scrambled to fight the flames and shut off the gas. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker says inspectors are going house to house to shut off gas lines while repairs are made.
We currently have now techs and first responders dispatched to all 3 communities to review the 8,000 homes that were affected by this particular circumstance.
Authorities say 18-year-old Lionel Rondon of Lawrence died after a chimney toppled by an exploding house crashed into his car. A group of scientists have developed a pair of robotic pants that could help stroke survivors and people struggling with mobility issues improve their quality of life. ABC says the pants, which debuted this week at the British Science Festival, combine electroactive polymers technology, graphene composites, and nanoparticles to simulate muscle movement. The pants help wearers move more easily from a sitting to standing position and help them walk for longer periods of time. Some 21 million Americans are said to have serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs.
Wow. My dad's in that group after his stroke about 2.5, almost 3 years ago at this point. The ability to walk and that independence it gives you.
Sure.
Holy cow.
Good stuff.
What a breakthrough that would be. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. From turtles to fish, the residents of 2 North Carolina aquariums will be facing Hurricane Florence alone after their handlers were forced to leave under mandatory evacuation orders. Reuters says animal handlers at 2 of the state's 3 major aquariums located on the vulnerable Outer Banks, Barrier Islands, and other threatened coastal areas had no choice but to leave Wednesday. An extensive checklist included preparing animal habitats as best the employees could, moving some animals to safer areas, topping off water levels, and turning on generators to oxygenate the water. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.